It's good to see everybody out this morning. I want to start off thanking the brethren here for this opportunity to come and be with you, to come and to present the Word of God, one that is it's a great encouragement to be trusted to present the Word of God. It's something that we don't take lightly in doing so, knowing that it is the words of eternal life and that it is such an important thing. And so I truly appreciate this opportunity. It's good to be able to come here and to be with family, to be with grandma, to be with an aunt and cousins, and just to be around them. And, of course, knowing the brethren that have been here for a long time, know you. You know me as I was small and visited here often. Thankful for the brethren in the past here that helped us, helped support us in the past. And I was trying to remember just how long it's been since I've been here to present the Word of God. I know I held a meeting a long time ago, but I can't remember when. I might have to do more digging trying to find that out. But I'm so grateful for this opportunity to be with you this week. This week we've themed out the lessons on weathering the storm. Weathering the storm is the theme. Bringing out lessons, and of course we're going to bring out spiritual points on that. But the Word of God has a lot of examples of physical storms that take place throughout it. And God able to use the weather for His own desires, to deliver people through that weather, the storms that take place. And I think there's a lot that we can learn in mindset as we live our lives from day to day and the spiritual storms that we face from day to day. And so I'm looking forward to presenting this lesson. When I came up with this theme, it was a matter of just listening to songs. It was a singing night, and one of the brethren had been leading a song, and he had led Master the Tempest is Raging. And while that song was being sung, my mind just started working and saying, oh, there's a lot of lessons in that, and went home that very night and just started writing down different titles that could go into a series of lessons focused on weathering the storm. And so I ask that you open up your Bibles as we get into our lesson this morning. And our first lesson is going to be God controls the storm. God has the power over the weather. And it's going to be the lead off, the introduction into the series of lessons that we're going to be getting into this week. If you start with me and open up your Bibles, I want to start in John chapter 1, if you will. God created the weather. John chapter 1, and looking at verse 1, we're going to read 1 through 3 here. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Here it brings out the point that through our Lord and Savior, says the Word, and the Word became flesh, if you read verse 14. So it's speaking about Jesus. Jesus was there in the beginning when all things were created. He was there in the beginning. And all things were created through Him. If you turn over to Colossians, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, Colossians chapter 1, and in verse 16 here, again, bringing out the point that all things were created through our Lord and Savior. Verse 16 here says, for by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Our Lord and Savior had part with all the creation of this world. And that includes the weather that we go through from day to day. As the temperatures start to drop and we hope to have a good time frame of fall before winter hits us, God is the one that put that all together. And we'll read more about that as we turn to Genesis chapter 1, if you will. I want to read some parts of the creation that the Lord had done therein, the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to start there with verse 1. And read through verse 5. It says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning one day. And so God starts off, and he creates the heavens and the earth. And he creates a light, and he separates the light from the darkness. And that was day one. And then we pick up in verse 6. It says, then God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below, and the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. And so here God separates the water that is on the earth, the water that is in the heavens. God separates those things. And that's important as we talk about the weather, because again, the waters that are up above are what comes down when it rains, when it thunders, when it storms. God is in control of these things. He's the one that put it all into work. In verse 9 it says, then God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place. Let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and gathered the waters called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed. But the fruit trees on the earth bring fruit after their kind, and the seeds with them. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, the trees bearing fruit with seed in them and their kind. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning the third day. And so as we read through there again, as God separates the water and the land, brings all the water into one spot, that if you do research, and again, I'm not a scientist by any means, and so I'm not going to get in a ton of detail here. But it's so interesting as you get caught up and you start researching this stuff and you think about the ocean and the waves and the tide and everything else, how it all works together with the universe that God had created. And that it's all in control, connected with the heavens, the rain, the clouds that are in the sky, and how they affect one another. And even as we get into talking about the two great lights, the sun and the moon, in verses 14 through 19, again it says, then God said, let there be lights and an expanse in the heavens, separated the day from night, and let them be for signs, for seasons, for days and years. Let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light governed the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on earth and to govern the day and the night, to separate the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. God did a great, wonderful job when he created this universe. A beautiful job he had done. God went forth and made sure that this world was in the perfect spot away from the sun. We are, this is quick searches, I'm sure there's more detailed exact measurements, but 93 million miles away from the sun. We are 238,000 miles away from the moon. And those things affect the weather here on Earth. That if we were any closer to that sun, we would start to burn up this Earth, and we wouldn't be able to live on it. If we were a little bit further away from that sun, we would start to freeze to death and wouldn't be able to live here. God put everything in the right spot. God controls it. God controls how the earth continues to rotate around the sun, evolve around the sun. I'm trying to make sure I can read my handwritings here. But it brings out that the world moves 1,000 miles an hour turning, just, 24 hours in a day, turning 1,000 miles an hour. And again, giving us the night and mornings. And then it brings out that we go 66,627 miles per hour as we go around the sun. 1.6 million miles a day is what it says. Again, giving us all those seasons as we circle around that sun.
God. God did that. To sit here and question whether or not that God is in control, that God made all these things, how can we explain how we have perfectly come into this place? And we always have all four seasons. We always go through different kinds of weathers. God is in control. And there's a lot more verses that we're going to look at this morning that go forth and prove that. If you open up your Bibles to Psalms, we're going to be looking at a few Psalms this morning, starting with Psalm 104, the 104th Psalm, and looking at verse 19. Psalm 104, and looking at verse 19. Here it says, He made the moon for the seasons. The sun knows the place of its setting. Again, here it brings out, I skipped to Psalm 74. I jumped down right. I was looking down. And so Psalm 104, verse 19, though, it brings out that point that the moon is there for the seasons. It helps with that. You go back to Psalm 74 and verse 16. Psalm 74, and in verse 16, if you turn back with that one, here it reads and says, Yours is the day, yours also is the night. You have prepared the light and the sun. You have established all the boundaries of the earth. You have made summer and winter. You know, I appreciate one of the brethren back in Owensboro. One of his, often in his prayers, he makes the point to give God thanks for all the seasons that we go through. And in that prayer, he makes the mention because through one season, it helps us appreciate the other. As we go through those hot, hot summer days, then we're wishing for a cooler day. And when we go through those freezing cold days, we're waiting for those nice and hot, warm days. And when we go through those dry times, we really wish it would rain. And when it just doesn't stop raining, we wish it would dry up. It helps us appreciate all that God does. And we go through all these things and see how God is in control of the weather. He controls the weather. Psalm 147. Psalm 147, and looking at verse 4. Here it says, He counts the number of the stars. He gives names to all of them. And in verse 8 it says, Who covers the heavens with the clouds and provides rain for the earth. Who makes grass grow on the mountains. Which one of us can say we can do that? That we have control of the weather to make sure that the sun rises and gives our plants and the grass the right sunlight it needs and to give the rain that needs to be there for the rest of the world. Here's one time I've done a garden, 1 year. And I remember I got help from one of the brethren, and he had tried to make sure, he's like, all right, we're going to wait and hopefully plant these things before after the last frost. And so he's like, I think we should be good here. I know they say wait till this time, but I think we'll be good. And so he helped me get some tomato plants, and we planted those down. And then here comes the frost again, and it, you know, came and it definitely hit his. And he's like, I think they're going to hit yours too, so we'll just go buy some more. Yeah, because I don't control the weather. I have no control over that weather. God is in control. God has power over all things. He's able to control the winds in Psalm 148 and verse 8. Psalm 148 and verse 8, it says fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds, fulfilling His words. They all fulfill His words. That's why up in verse 3 it says, Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, stars of light. Praise Him, highest heavens, and the waters are above the heavens. That all things praise Him. God is the one that created it. God is the one that put it all into motion. God is the one that still has authority over all these things. The 135th Psalm, Psalm 135. Psalm 135, and looking at verse 7. It says, He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth, who makes lightning for rain, who brings the winds from His treasuries. Again, God controls all these things. What wonderful works. And again, it talks about the vapor. I love getting out
And if you're able to see, come over. We've got a field that's by our house, and you know, just empty field, no corn or anything. So just grass. And in the mornings during this season, you just every morning you see that fog, you see the vapors coming up. And eventually, it's gone though. It's just, you know, it's there in the morning, and I can't see past the street. I can't see them doing construction on the new neighborhood they're building. That's it. But then it's gone. And then you see clearly. God is the one that puts it there.
Job, as he was going forth and questioning many things in his life, wondering why it is he went through the bad times that he had went through, losing his children. But he understood God has the power. In Job 37, and looking at verse 3, says, "Under the whole heaven he let loose, and his lightning to the ends of the earth. After it, a voice roars. He thunders with his majestic voice, and he does not restrain the lightning when his voice is heard. God thunders with his voice wondrously, doing great things which we cannot comprehend. For to the snow he says, 'Fall on the earth,' and to the downpour and the rain, 'Be strong.'" Jump down to verse 10. It says, "From the breath of God ice is made, and the expanse of the waters is frozen. Also the moisture he loads the thick clouds, he disperses the clouds of his lightning. It changes directions, turning around by his guidance, that it may do whatever he commands it on the face of the inhabited earth, whether for correction or his world, or for loving kindness, he causes it to happen." God is in control of it all. The rain, the snow, the storm, the lightning, the clouds, the dew on the earth. And again, we know that Jesus had this power also because he is God. And Mark chapter 4 and verse 39, as they were on the boat and our Lord and Savior fell fast asleep and he's down on the bottom and his disciples are caught up in worrying about they're going to sink and die. And so they wake him up. And in verse 39, he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died. The wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" That is the power our God has. And with that point, we come to the question, what does that have to do with me? We need to realize God created this world, and he's done great wonders, and he's done great things with it, and he's made it flow just the way he designed it to flow. But what does that mean for me? God also created us. God also created you. That means he's also in control of the storms that we face. You turn along with me in Genesis chapter 2. It goes into some details about how we were created here. In Genesis chapter 2, and looking at verse 7, if you will. Genesis chapter 2, and starting with verse 7. Says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Here God, after creating the world, and in chapter 2 is just giving more details on how things went about there on that seventh day, or sixth day. That as he created this world, and he separated the waters and the land, and then he goes forth and he creates the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. On the sixth day, he creates the living creatures, and then he takes dust of the ground. He takes a little bit of the dirt, whether he's forming these with his hands, bare hands, and actually molded Adam. Or as we read through the Word of God, as he spoke things into existence, he might have just spoke it all, taking that dust, saying, "Dust, turn into man." And it obeying his will, that dust, from that dust of the ground,
formed the first man. And then as he looked at Adam, seeing that he had no helpmate comparable to him, we see he goes forth and creates woman there in verses 21 and 22. It says, "So the Lord God caused deep sleep to fall upon the man. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh that at that place. And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man." God created man and woman. He created us just as he created the rest of this world. He designed it. He designed us just the way he wanted us to be. Knowing everything about us, all our strengths, all our weaknesses, what we can and cannot do, what our limits are. God created us. But he made us a little more special than the rest of this world. And I understand this world is amazing. There are so many things that I have seen and so many, a whole lot more that I haven't seen that are just amazing. Love going flying on planes and looking down on this earth and just seeing the creation of God, going to the mountains, and whether, you know, Smoky Mountains or Rocky Mountains, and just how God had formed those things, all the creatures that are on this earth. But we go back to chapter 1, and in verse 26, when it talks about our creation here in chapter 1, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds over the sky, over the cattle, over the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them. God created you and me in his image. And then he goes and blesses us, gives us dominion over this earth. Nothing else in this world was created in his image. That's why nothing else in the earth matters as much as we do, as you do, as I do, to God. And God cares about this world. He takes care of the birds of the air. He takes care of the lilies of the field. But what he wants the most is us. You go to Matthew chapter 22 there when they were asking our Lord and Savior whether it was right to pay taxes. And so he asked, "Well, show me the money. Show me the money, and whose image is on that?" And they said, "Well, it's Caesar's." And so he said, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's." Said, "Render unto God what is God's." I think we so often miss the point on that verse, that it's bringing out the point of what has the image of God stamped on it. Well, I do. You do. You were made in the image of God, and so therefore God and our Lord is telling us that he wants us to make sure that we give ourselves to the Lord, to our Father up above. He wants to make sure that we are giving ourselves to God. Because we were made in his image. We need to be willing to submit to our Lord. And so if God created us just as he created this world, we need to realize that God has control, has power over the storms that we face here on earth today. God is still in control, and therefore he is the one that can deliver us as we face our temptations, our trials, our storms, as we live our lives here on earth today. Turn along with me to Jeremiah chapter 18, if you will. Jeremiah chapter 18. I want to read verses 1 through 6 here. It says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will announce my words to you. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel. But the vessel
that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. So he remade it into another vessel as it pleased the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as the potter does, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to uproot, to pull down, or to destroy it. And if that nation against which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent concerning the calamity I plan to bring on it. Or at another moment I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to build up or to plant it. If it does evil in my sight by not obeying my voice, then I will think better of the good which I had promised to bless it." He brings out, he says, go to the potter's house and watch what the potter does. I've never done pottery. When I was in high school and a little while out of high school, I enjoyed to do a little bit of woodwork and building things. And then when you get to build something, you're in control. You have the power to do as you please. You get to choose how tall something is, how long it's going to be, how wide, the depth, what color. You get to put all the work in it, how you're going to hold it together, whether screws or nails or you're going to, whatever you want. And it's made to do what you desire to do. And God says he has that power over us. He's able to look down on us and see what he has made. And he plans good for us. But if we are doing evil and we are continuing sin and we do not listen to his words and seek to obey his commandments, then he has the right to do as he pleases and allow bad things to come upon us. Just as he speaks to the children of the Israel and to the kingdom there, and he's able, you know, as I send word to warn these nations over here, and if they heed the warning, then I will relent my hand. But if you guys, who I've promised this land, I've promised to help you against your enemies, and you choose to serve these idols, then why would I keep your enemies away from me? God has power over the storms, the weather, the battles, the trials that we face from day to day. God knows everything about us. Matthew chapter 10, verse 31. When we read earlier in one of the Psalms, I believe, it brought out the point that he has put all the stars in the sky and he has named them all. He has named all the stars, meaning he knows everything about them. It brings out another verse that he knows when a sparrow falls from the sky. No one else may know. It may be in the jungle and a bird dies. No one knows whether one more or one less. But God knows. And God knows everything about us. Matthew chapter 10 and in verse 30. Matthew 10 and verse 30. As it reads here, it says, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear, you are more valuable than many sparrows." God knows the very amount of hairs on my head. Though I know each year that passes by, it's a little less that he has to count. He knows every single hair on my head. He cares about me that much. He cares about you that much. And so therefore, he's always there. He's always going to be there to help us through the storms that we face. And it brings out here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, and I just want to look at the first part of this verse and as we look at it for this lesson. And it brings out this point. He says, "No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man." Actually, look at another part and continue to read on. It says, "And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." So as we look at this verse, it brings out the point that God is still in control of the storms that I face. Because he's saying that he will not allow you to go through a storm that you cannot face. That a storm that is too unbearable that you have to sin and give into that temptation. That he says that everything you go through is common to man, meaning that it's nothing new that someone else hasn't already gone through, that someone else hasn't already faced. God is in control. Sometimes it doesn't feel like that. Sometimes as we go through our lives here on earth and we start questioning why it is we're going through these things, God is in control. He's holding back how bad the storm could truly be. And when you read that verse, my mind always goes back to Job, if you will. Job chapter 1. God controls the storms we face. He's holding Satan back from doing more than what we can face, what we can go through. And so when we read in Job chapter 1 and verse 12, here it brings out the point. It says, the Lord said to Satan, as Satan is going to and fro from heaven to earth, and God speaks about Job, and he says, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan basically takes that as a challenge. He says, well, you've made a hedge around him. You've blessed him, you know, without measure. And so in verse 12 it says, then the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him. So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. Then hopefully you know what happens after this. Satan causes a great spiritual storm to come upon Job. As he is there, a servant comes to him and tells him how he is losing his livestock. And then another servant comes and tells him about the other livestock. And another servant comes, and one after another and another. And then finally another comes and tells him probably the worst news, that all his children are gathered in one house at the eldest brother's house and are eating and feasting. And great winds from all corners knock the house down and kill him. I mean, he has nothing left. Nothing left but his wife. And his wife ends up telling him to curse God and die. And so she's already abandoned her faith. As I read that, I'm saying how terrible that had to be. I sit back and ask myself, could I face such a thing that Job went through? But as we read it, God knew how much he could handle. He knew how strong Job was in his faith. And we read through Job and we know that it certainly shook him. It certainly was a trial. He was quiet for many days, and then he starts to speak to his friends. His friends end up basically betraying him and saying, well, you had to do something wrong. Continuing to try to push him over the edge. God knew how much Job even after this, and in chapter 2, and in verse 6, you know, Satan's like, well, you didn't let me do any harm to him personally, physically. And so in verse 6, the Lord said, behold, he is in your power, only spare his life. And so he gets boils from the sole of his feet to the top of his head. And I don't know what everybody here has gone through, what trial, what storms you have weathered, what storms you might be going through at this time and moment. But if you're going through it, that means God knows, not just believes, he knows that you can go through this storm and be faithful in his service. He knows that you have enough faith, that you are strong enough, that you are surrounded by enough brothers and sisters in Christ that you can remain faithful through this storm. Sometimes it's hard to see that light, hard to see and know that God is there. But know that he is. Know that God is in control. Know that God is always going to be there for us. As we continue through this week, we're going to continue on this theme throughout the week. That God, that we need to weather the storm. And it's a reminder to us that God has control over the storm that we face. And we're going to be talking about in the next lesson this morning that we all go through that storm. We all go through storms.
not one of us who doesn't. And then we're going to talk this evening on making sure that we're prepared for that storm. We're hearing the warning that storms happen. And so why would we not prepare for that storm? And then the rest of the week, continuing on the points on how we can face that, how we can face it together, how we can help one another, help others through the storm. And so I hope that you'll be able to join us through all these lessons as we go throughout the week. Again, I thank you for your attention. I thank you for the time I had. I know I'm in a couple minutes early, but I appreciate it. And I know, I don't believe there's an invitation song prepared, but the invitation's always there. Know that. But if you desire to obey the gospel, that you can do that this morning and be baptized before we enter into services, and you'll be able to take the Lord's Supper this morning with your with the saints. And so that is extended to you. I thank you for your attention. The lesson is yours.